We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Matthew 16:18, the Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Hi, Alex McFarland. Good morning, everybody. What an honor to be sitting in for Jeff Shreve on Real Truth for Today. This is the American Family Radio Network, and we've got a great show. We've got a really power-packed show. Later on in the show, we've got political science professor, author Dorothy Logan, who's written an incredible book called The Unraveling. The Unraveling, and it's about what's wrong with our country, really politically, but even more importantly, morally and spiritually. And I interviewed Dorothy Logan a couple of weeks ago before Christmas, and incredibly insightful analyst about what's going on in our culture. And you'll meet this author and speaker later on in the program. But right now, I want to begin. I've got the privilege this weekend. I'll be in Cincinnati, Ohio, speaking at Landmark Baptist Church, one of America's historic churches. We're going to speak with the pastor of Landmark, Matt Holman. They have seen in the last year nearly 200 people won to Christ and baptized. And so often we've got correspondence from people that hear us on the radio. I'm on Exploring the Word with Pastor Bert Harper, and then of course, I've got the weekend show, Truth for a New Generation, with Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network. And people are everywhere asking, how can I jumpstart a plateaued or declining church? We're not seeing people saved. Alex, what can we do? So we're going to speak with someone who's doing it. God is using Matt Holman and the team at Landmark in Cincinnati. I'm very excited to preach there this coming Sunday. And if you happen to be in the area of Cincinnati, Ohio, come out. We would love to meet you. But Pastor Matt Holman, he's a great colleague and friend. And Brother Matt, as we come to the mic, I heard a quote one time that the church is an organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. You know, speaking of the call to evangelize and do outreach, the church exists for the benefit of its non-members. We'll talk about that, but first of all, welcome to the American Family Radio Network, Matt, and thanks for being on with us.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be with you this day, Brother Alex. I love you, love your ministry, and we're really looking forward to having you this weekend.
Well, thanks very much. You know, back a couple of years ago, Landmark hosted one of our Truth for New Generation conferences, and we had Erwin Lutzer come and Josh McDowell, and your church just, it's everything a thriving local church ought to be. Tell us about how God brought you there, and what is God doing in Landmark these days?
Well, I've been here, Brother Alex. This is my 41st year. I came in April of 1983. And Dr. John Rawlings, who was the pastor at the time, had been here 40 years at wow. the time, 33 years. And he resigned at his 43rd year. He invited me to be on the staff in 1983 as a youth pastor. And I just worked around, you know, as far as student pastoring, and then I would do the music when we'd lose a music minister, and then I did young adults, which I really, really loved that generation. I love the young adults, the singles. I did that for about 10 years.
Right.
And small groups, so it's just been a wonderful, wonderful run, and I became pastor in 2001, Dr. Harold, Dr. John's son, Dr. Rawlings, who was here for a number of years, pastored 7 years. I followed him. So it's been in the Rawlings generation there for the family for 50 years. And so, but I get to work with the Rawlings. I still work with them. We just celebrated 60 years here in the Hill, and all three boys were here. They're 91, 90, and 83. And two other generations, previous pastors before the Rawlings were here as well and attend church here. So it is quite a rich history at the church. So it's just honor and a privilege.
It's wonderful. You know, I went to Liberty University, Matt, and I remember guys like Harold Wilmington and Elmer Towns,
yes,
and Jerry Falwell. Mm-hmm. They said that strive for longevity. Longevity of location and vocation. Now, part of the reason I bring this up, there just might be somebody listening right now, and you're planning an exit strategy. And Matt is just living proof of the power of longevity of location and vocation. Brother Matt, I've often felt like we think too small, we aim too low, we quit too soon. And 41 years, that's wonderful, because not only has the Lord woven your life, your family's lives into the church, but when you're in a city for years and even decades, you get levels of leadership that you just otherwise couldn't get except through time. So, brother, I want to commend you for your longevity.
Well, you know, thank you. I've always heard, Brother Alex, that a new broom can make a clean sweep, but an old broom knows where the dirt is. And so it's kind
of a
fun thing, but I just love it, because the vision, my wife and I, we get up every day and we talk about what we're going to do, you know, in ministry. And it's just so important that your mate, my wife, has been right beside me all these 41 years, and she loves it. She just absolutely loves it. And we're still having the time of our life. And we understand in this season that, you know, we begin to see the church through our daughter's eyes, our granddaughter's eyes, and we know that. So we got to be wise. And, of course, we've had those conversations, and those conversations are, you know, probably more frequent. But God will have to, you know, bring us that right person that we can train, that will come alongside of us, understand our vision, our heart of the ministry. So it has been absolutely wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, you and I both, we've got a passion for the local church. And folks, look, wherever you are in America listening right now, number one, obviously, our message is to know the Lord. And if you've never trusted Christ, do that today. But assuming you're a born-again believer, folks, it is God's will that every Christian be a part of a local church. You don't even have to pray about it. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be a part of a church. Am I right, Matt?
That's absolutely correct. We're finishing up a series called The Presence of God, and I'll just mention the first two points. The Word of God cultivates the presence of God, and the house of God cultivates the presence of God. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We can't escape His presence. Psalm 139, verse 7. He is with us. So to cultivate that power that He has promised us, the house of God is the most powerful unit that He has ordained.
Amen.
For
Amen.
Us.
Now, Landmark, did I hear you correctly when you and I were talking yesterday? You've baptized like 170 new believers in the last year.
Yes, and the year previous was 150.
Amen.
It's just been absolutely wonderful what God has been doing, and we haven't changed much of our strategy, except we've just put more heat on the evangelistic piece.
Well, this is wonderful, because, you know, since COVID, I mean, the stats in many parts of the country, not all, but a lot of statistics about people not going back to church, and there have been a lot of church closures. What encouragement, Pastor Matt, what encouragement could you give to people that they say, well, my church is kind of plateaued. We're not growing like Landmark is. What's working? What advice could you give to the people out there about getting their church jump-started?
Well, you know, we're not alone in that feeling. I think as pastors, you know, we strive, we want more in our church. And, you know, Jesus simply said, go out and fill up my house. And when the house is full, there's a lot of energy. And I think pastors, you know, we can get discouraged, you know, if it's, oh, who didn't show up? But we just can't worry about that because there's so many other people, like you said, that unbelieving world that needs Christ. So what we've done is we said, this is what we're going to do this year. We're going to hire an outreach pastor who just has a heart for people. And what he's done on our staff, his name is Casey Reagan. He's been with us for 3 years, Brother Alex, and you may have met him the last time you were here, but he is just bent on winning people to Christ. And he, every day he goes out, and, you know, he has this ministry called Unbound, which is an addiction, those who are, you know, addicted, and that's on Tuesday nights, and he'll have anywhere from 75 to 100 show up for that. And through that ministry, they've had several people come for salvation and then baptism. But he goes to these homeless camps right now. I picked up a man who they got out of a homeless camp who's been homeless for 10 years. They placed him in an apartment about 6 months ago and found out in talking to him, he's a painter, a union painter who painted for 30 years, but has just, you know, drugs, alcohol has just ruined his life. He's right now, I picked him up this morning at the bus stop at 8:30, right down from the church, brought him up. He's been painting for us. He's amazing. And we're seeing lives like this from the street. It being totally revolutionized. I'm telling you, it is a wonderful ministry because God is using that ministry of evangelism. And of course, what it does, it energizes your people. Yeah. And so we bought a bus. We partnered with a ministry out of Dallas, Texas called Metro Relief. And we bought an old 66 bus. And we feed people out of it. It's been totally transitioned into a food bus, and we take it out to different areas. Went out this Saturday. 7 people came to Christ this Saturday. Gave out 70 packages. You know, it's very organized. We just stand there by the bus, and people come up. We pray with them, and four of those people from Covington, Kentucky, which is 30 miles from us, came last night to the Unbound meeting, drove here. One of the girls got saved. So I really believe that one of the most encouraging things for us has been out on the streets. Jesus said, go out there on the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. And everybody's getting on board, Brother Alex, and it has really been a wonderful ministry. Plus, you know, we have other ministries that are really evangelistic, and our Bread of Life community, which is in another building that we have, we will service about 20 families on a Monday night. And out of that, we've received a lot of volunteers who have gotten saved, who have come into our ministry. So now the thing, and I mentioned this to you yesterday, the most important thing is discipleship. Once we evangelize, we have to discipleship, and that's disciple these people who have come to Christ. So this is what we're doing. We put them in a class. We call it Landmark 101, or we'll put them in a Bible study here at the church and watch them grow or mentor them one-on-one. So this is what's happening, and it's affecting our services.
This is the Great Commission, isn't it? I mean, you know,
exactly what it is.
Folks, we're talking with Pastor Matt Holman of Landmark, Cincinnati, Ohio. I'll be there this weekend, and we've got a brief break. What's your website, Pastor Matt?
LandmarkCincinnati.com.
LandmarkCincinnati.com. Folks, stay tuned. A lot of show. Matt Holman, author Dorothy Logan. This is Alex McFarland. You might know my voice from Exploring the Word, because we're live every day, Monday through Friday, with Bible study here on AFR, 4 to 5 p.m. Stay tuned. Real Truth, Alex McFarland sitting in for Jeff Shreve. We're back after this brief break.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You know, I firmly believe that two things are the keys to saving our nation. One is the family, and the other is the local church. Hi, Alex McFarland here. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network, Real Truth for Today. Our guest in this segment, Pastor Matt Holman of Landmark Church. Brother, I'm still just getting my mind around that God has used you and is using you there 41 years. That's amazing. You were youth pastor there before I was even a born-again Christian. what a testimony, man. 41 years. That's amazing.
Well, it's definitely a calling. And once you get the calling from the Word of God to be in the ministry where you're supposed to be, of course you can walk on water, and no matter what comes your way, you just you stand against the storm, because you know God wants you here. And I've tried. I've asked the Lord, is it time? And he said, no, let's just move this thing. And so it's been wonderful. I'd like to really add something about what we were talking about, if you don't mind, Brother Alex.
Yes.
The leader that I mentioned, Casey Reagan, who is our outreach pastor, was homeless himself for a number of years. He left Louisiana. His family, he was a missing person. He was dead, but he found his the family found him 3 years later. He came back to the Lord. He came here about 7 years ago and was a drug counselor down at a city gospel mission here in Cincinnati. And he and his wife started attending this church. I eventually married him about a year later, and he's been on our staff for 3 years. Now, you know, there's a better part of us that we see somebody on the street, somebody who is, either begging or blah, blah, blah. We may in our minds just say, well, you know, there's no hope for that person. But you know what? Man, God found us a diamond in the rough. And that's why he has a heart for these people. Mm-hmm. And he has a heart for people, period. I was in a restaurant with him where he witnessed to the entire, all the waiters and the waitresses, and they listened to him as he gave them the gospel. It's incredible. So
do you
it's
believe
the heart of evangelism, and that's what the church has been here. It's been an evangelistic church under Dr. John Rawlings, of course, so evangelistic.
Sure. By the way, there was a great biography written a couple of years ago about Dr. John Rawlings, folks. An amazing leader. I love to read books on the lives of great Christian leaders. Is that the John Rawlings biography still available, Matt? Do you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. We have a little bookstore here at the church, and we have several copies of his book. I'll give you one. If you haven't read it, I'm sure you have, but I'll give you a few if you'd like this week.
Yeah. And again, give the website for the church, because folks, listen, wherever you are, look at the churches that God is using like Landmark, and look and glean and see what's working. And Matt, give your website, then I've got a follow-up question for you.
Okay, landmarkcincinnati.com.
So regarding
landmarkcincinnati.com, yes, sir.
Amen. Do you like to groom your own staff from within? Because a lot of churches, you know, they'll spend money, they'll bring in somebody. It may or may not work. Do you feel like your philosophy of staff development is to, you know, train the people that you've won and you kind of promote from within?
Everybody on our staff, everybody is from within. We do not have one outsider.
Wow.
That we brought in. And we've got a large staff, you know, I mean, a church this size. We, you know, we're at 800, so we'll run, 21, 22 people on staff. Some are part-time. We have a lot of volunteers. We'll have anywhere from 140 to 150 volunteers on Sunday morning. And, for instance, our youth pastor was a football coach outside the city in a place called New Miami. And God, he had been here his whole life at this church as a teenager. His parents came when he was a preteen, but through his teenage years, and went to college, played football. And then he was there at this high school coaching football, and he began to read the Bible and have a Bible study with his players. Well, you know,
amen.
The administration put a quietus on that.
Yeah.
And he continued to do it. It cost him his job, but now he's here. He's here and running close to 100 young people on Wednesday night, which a church our size is excellent. He's baptizing young people over in his building on Wednesday night, which is just incredible.
Yeah, praise God.
So God got us people like this.
And that's wonderful. And, you know, it's a thrill. Folks, having spoken in 2,000 churches plus, I mean, it is such a thrill when you see God at work. So, Pastor Matt, give a word of encouragement for the people out there who say, you know, I want to see my church have a brand new day of God's favor and God's blessing and fruitfulness. Give us a word about how to get that new vision and begin to pursue it.
I think, you know, Brother Alex, if we just go, God promised, we have nothing to fear. You know, we're not ashamed of him. He wasn't ashamed of us. And he gave his life for us, so we give our life to him. And it's so encouraging when you just go and you begin to talk to people about Christ and you begin to spread the word. I'm telling you, God will bring people to your church. He'll encourage you because it puts new blood in the body. I just want to share this one story real quick. Last week, there was a man at the top of our hill. He was sitting in his truck. He was actually... It was a beer truck. It was a pickup truck, and he works for that company. And I drove up to him, and I rolled the window down, and I said, "What you doing, bud?" And he said, I'm just sitting here looking at this property. And I said, "Well, you know what? What's your name?" He said, "Greg." I said, "Mine's Matt." And we talked, and I just asked him, "Have you ever asked the Lord to come into your heart? Do you know where you'd go?" And he said, "I have absolutely no idea." Mm. And I'm getting pretty emotional. I'm sorry, Brother Alex. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you,
praise
it was
God.
Wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful, and this is what will turn your church around. This is what will turn, you know, your church around. It'll turn you around as a pastor, as a leader. It'll give you new vision because
amen.
God died for people. God loves people, and he's asked us to be that vessel to go out and tell people. You know, and everything will come together. I promise it will come together.
Amen.
I wish I had the time to tell you what we've been through. And maybe when you're here this weekend, you know, I can share a few things. It's just unbelievable about the ministry that I'm in with the Rawlings Foundation. We saw last year, out of all 10 camps, 177,000 young people come to Christ in those 10 camps
around the world. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. We want to talk about that. Hey, what are our service times this weekend, you and I?
9:30 and 11 o'clock.
9:30. Folks, I'm looking forward to being in Cincinnati. O'clock. If you're in the Cincinnati area, we would love to meet you. Landmark. LandmarkCincinnati.com is the website. Hey, let's visit again soon. And listen, let's be committed to see revival in our times in the United States of America.
Amen.
Pastor Matt Holman, God bless you. Thank you so much. Folks, we're going to kind of change gears here. We're going to talk to author and speaker, political analyst Dorothy Logan. This is Alex McFarland. I want to say a quick word. I'm going to be at the Cove, July 12th through 14th, the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina. And whenever you get invited to the Cove, and this will be my 18th summer there, I give God the glory. What an honor. Will Graham, son of Franklin Graham, is the director. Will is just a great evangelist and great friend. But he always asked me to teach a book of the Bible. And what we do, and I've taught Romans and Colossians and Genesis, but this summer, July 12th through 14th, I'll be teaching 1 John. I've never taught through that book at the Cove before, but we'll be talking about the believer's identity in Christ. And look, folks, your identity in Jesus, stability in your Christian walk and growth, and also, let me just say this, your authority in Christ. Yes, you as a born-again believer, you have spiritual authority. Now, the website of the Cove is thecove.org, T-H-E-C-O-V-E, thecove.org. And if you put my name in the space bar, you'll find our event, and it's just amazing. Angie will be there. We're going to have a good time. People from all over America and all over the world. Last summer, we had people from Germany, people from Ohio, India, I meant to say, all 50 states. But an amazing time of fellowship, the scenery, the presence of God at the Billy Graham Training Center. I would love for you to be there July 12th through 14th, and we'll just experience the power of God together. But right now, I want to bring to the mic someone. I got a book. A publisher sent me a copy of a book, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, The Unraveling. And I just was very taken by this book, and I get so many books to review and read, but I just read this book and I thought this individual really has a handle on politically, spiritually, where our nation is. Her name is Dorothy Logan. She's an academic, an analyst, a speaker, and a writer, but I wanted to have her on and talk a little bit with this new year, this election year before us, about her book and the future of our country. Dorothy Logan, thank you for being with us on the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thanks. Thanks for holding, and welcome to the program. Before we go too far, where can people find your book? And listen to the subtitle, folks, The Unraveling, The American Fabric Undone. We'll talk about it, but where can they find your book?
It is... You can find it anywhere books are sold. You can also go to my website, which is freedomacademy-dorothy.com. Amazon sells it, Barnes & Noble, everywhere books are sold.
What's the basic premise of your book there, Dorothy?
Essentially that although the foundation of what creates our the fabric of our society, the tapestry of this beautiful American experience has become unraveled. It's been unraveling slowly, but the foundations that held up our civilization and our society are crumbling. And the cracks have been there, and now it's just unraveling faster, and the decay of those foundations is crumbling faster and faster at this point.
What, in your opinion, initiated this crumbling?
Well, I don't know. I think some of it's the usual wear and tear. As the cloth ages, it gets thinner and more threadbare. But I think that every time a thread was exposed, there were people and people in power and our own American citizens who took those threads and intentionally pulled them out of the fabric. It's been an intentional, I believe, an intentional way to destroy to destroy who we are, to take our values and overturn them, to take our vocabulary and overturn that. And it all goes back to if you follow the threads, it all goes back to the desire to eliminate or undermine Christianity as well as the idea of biblical truth. When we start talking about, well, my truth is different from your truth, and when we make truth relative, it's impossible to hold common meaning, shared values, shared language, and everything that holds a society together.
Yeah, and you know, I would suspect you too. I've kind of been at the ringside of the culture battle for a long time. I worked with James Dobson. Was very close friends with Chuck Colson, some great leaders. But Dorothy, it seems like when you would talk about America's in trouble, the foundations are being intentionally destroyed. For years, it seemed like people didn't believe you. I would be on the road speaking, and pastors would invite me in to speak on, you know, evangelism or biblical worldview, but they would say, look, none of this morality and politics stuff, Alex. In fact, this church I went to 20 years ago, shortly after 9/11, my pastor said that, you know, all of this stuff about America under attack was overstated and alarmist, and America's fine. Here's my question, Dorothy. Do you think people are finally waking up and saying, oh my goodness, our country's in trouble? Politically, we're in trouble, and we must have a course correction or we're going to lose our country.
I think it's gotten to the point where you cannot no longer deny it. It's so obvious. If you cannot see it at this point, you have to be blind. But it has been kind of this intentional or systematic march over generations. It has been incremental. It's just gotten to the point where it's undeniable at this point. When you talk about, well, back 20 years ago, well, back 40 years ago, we can see that it has been going in one direction. And when you boil the frog, once it gets toward near boiling, you can't deny that the water is boiling anymore. It's just, we've been kind of ignoring the raising of the temperature, but more than ignoring it, we've been adapting to it because they have been so devious, or I don't know how you would phrase it, so it's an insidious kind of approach to destroying what we believe our foundations are based upon, and actually overturning and redefining very slowly. And now we watch them redefining other words and concepts to the point where, oh, maybe we should go back and see what they've done in the past. But we've gotten to this point where generations on generations and generations now have been exposed to a different way of thinking that has led us to this place where we didn't even recognize it was happening until now.
Hold that thought. We've got a break. We'll come back more with Dorothy Logan, The Unraveling the American Fabric. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Very honored to do that. Talking to a colleague that I just got acquainted with not too long ago, Dorothy Logan. She's the author of the book, The Unraveling, The American Fabric Undone. And you can find this book at Barnes & Noble and online, wherever books are sold. Dorothy, I've got to say, and no flattery here, no embellishment, but I get half a dozen books a week, easily, sometimes more, and people would like for me to read or review, and it's an honor to do so. But I was intrigued by the cover copy on your book, and then I looked in your book, and you've got some action steps about what can be done. And that's why I wanted to have you on and encourage people to read this book. God's given you a lot of insight. First of all, as a fellow author, I want to commend you for writing a really good book. I'm just curious, from concept to completion, how long did that book take you?
To publication or to completion of writing the book? Because it was about 6 months to write it, but about 9 months to get it published from concept to publication.
Yes. For any of you aspiring authors out there, let me just say you can do it. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon to get a book built. I say written in a way, but the writing, the editing, the publishing, to get that ball across the goal line, it's a marathon, isn't it, Dorothy?
Yes.
The fabric being unraveled. Here's the thing, you know, earlier in the interview, Dorothy, you mentioned that the cloth ages over time. But what people need to understand about our country, and if you agree, speak to this, the weakening and the attempted dismantling of America by many quarters, it's been intentional, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been intentional. And we can see that in part of the book. The first part of the book is kind of a primer. It gives insight or reminds people of what they thought they learned in their civics classes. And then I also turn democracy on its head. I'd love a chance to talk about that. But this
okay,
idea
yes, please.
that we have this artificial conscience. And when you intentionally go against your conscience as a normal person, right, goes against their conscience, it becomes easier and easier to go against it. And in fact, you lean more that way. And as we watch people in executive mansions and as our representatives and in Congress and other government places, as well as bureaucracy and the courts, go against their conscience, they do so intentionally. We know that we, as an individual who has a prick of conscience, we know we intentionally go against our conscience when we do so. So it's the evidence is there, and I outline that in the book as well. But this idea of democracy, you introduced me by talking about this is 2024. It's an election year, and people have been talking about democracy, threats to democracy, protecting democracy. And then we have all this stuff going on within the two major parties, right? You had RFK Jr. not being allowed to primary Joe Biden, and we have Donald Trump being taken off the primary and the ballots in different states. And people are saying they're doing this to protect democracy. And people are saying, and then the counter to that is, well, this is actually defeating democracy. You're obstructing democracy in order to protect democracy. And what I want to throw out there, if you read this book, you will understand that this is exactly what democracy brings us. Democracy is not freedom. Democracy is not a republic. Democracy is not constitutionalism. Democracy gave us Hamas in Palestine. Democracy and never another, and then never a chance to vote for anybody else again, right? So
You
democracy brings a permanent majority, and then that majority, that people in power, do whatever they feel deemed necessary to maintain power. That is what democracy brings us. And I hate to kind of hijack that, but this is the message. Everyone is so concerned about protecting democracy, and elections are the most important thing that going forward, that we have to really step back and say, okay, democracy is not what we want to protect. We want to identify threats to our freedom and liberties and rights, not necessarily to democracy. And then we also, and it's not liberty, it's that you can't equate them, and then understand what is the real solution. If elections don't solve it, then how do we get from here to where we are, to this unraveled state, into weaving these threads back together in a constructive way where we can recapture the society that we thought we once knew.
Well, you know, it's like the founders said that only a moral and religious people are capable of being entrusted with freedom. I mean, we could do a whole show just talking about this because, and folks, listen carefully. We have liberty within a Judeo-Christian framework. We have liberty within the boundaries that God has set up. But Dorothy, I believe that most young people today, they've been coached K through 12 public education. They've been told about democracy, which is such a misnomer. We're a representative republic within a Judeo-Christian framework. But here's the thing. Our godly limited liberties have been morphed into a militant autonomy. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And that is intentional, too. This polarization we see, this focus on democracy, leads to this polarization, which puts people into two discrete groups and then basically says, you know, you want to be on the winning side, so you have all the power, and then you have and you have power over the other group to force them to believe the same way you do, to force your values upon them, to force your, this is why we can talk about virtue signaling, and we can talk about, well, but they're trying to impose, this is the morality, this is right and good, we're going to tell you how to love your neighbor, we're going to tell, you don't get to decide what is right and wrong, there's no immutable truth. The winner of the argument essentially gets to determine the values of the people, and then if you disagree with us, we get to force you to live under those values. And that's what we see with these activists, these social justice movements, and these activists going out there and trying to impose their values on the rest of the populace. It's their goal. They're very desperate to do so because they actually do find their identity in these politics.
Well, you know, the antidote is biblical worldview. Folks, let me say the antidote to being misled by false philosophies, it's like Colossians 2, verse 8, where Paul says, beware lest any man, the King James says spoil you, but the wording literally is like ruin you. And I believe, even before we talk about our country and how the country truly is structured, the inoculation to guard someone against false philosophies is the biblical worldview, isn't it?
It is, and I love the image on the cover of my book. It's a rope that's cut and fraying, yes. And it's vertical, right? And so we have cut the vertical connection between the people and our God. That relationship is so broken. And how do we recapture? How do we weave that back together without reconnecting? There's a lot more I could go into the symbolism there, but the biblical worldview, this idea of an immutable truth, right? That's why I talk about natural law quite a bit in the book. This idea of immutable truth is the only way forward. And so it breaks my heart every time I see people engaging or latching on to something in such desperation and anxiety and fear to untruth as truth. It breaks my heart every time.
Well, did you see the image that's floating around the internet this week of a very, very, very pregnant woman? I'm not sure if it was taken in Florida, but on her, you know, pregnant belly, she wrote, "Not a human being yet." And I mean, you know, this is a woman that's would appear to be 8 or 9 months pregnant. And mm-hmm. And folks, you've got to understand this idea of natural law. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, no one lost any rights because there never was a right to kill another human being for convenience. Now, self-defense or national defense, but in a worldview of natural law, folks, and that's what we're based on. We're still on paper a natural law representative Judeo-Christian republic. All humans and the unborn are human beings. Even my friend, the late atheist Christopher Hitchens, he was an atheist, but he was a passionate pro-lifer. He said, look, the unborn is a human being with all of the rights predicated by the Constitution. It is nonsense to say otherwise, said Hitchens. And here's my point, Dorothy. The most fundamental constitutionally protected God-given right is the right to life. And so no one has the right to kill the unborn. Dorothy, in your opinion, what is a way that we could help the current generation understand the structure of our nation and the core values that made us great, core values that have been temporarily forgotten, if not overtly attacked?
Well, I think it's very difficult to reach the current young generation the way we've tried to reach previous generations. I think that you have to touch them on their emotional level, which is really, we're not quite good. As an intellectual myself, as a rational, I'm more rational than I am emotional. It's difficult for me to do that. But I think that, you know, the science is there, right? We talk about it has its unique, when we talk about the value of the intrinsic value of every human being, they don't believe it anymore. That's really what it comes down to, because we know these are individual human beings. They have their own unique DNA. They are, and they're not some other type of being. They are human. You know, so they should be, they do have innate human rights simply for being human beings. But the problem in this generation is that they no longer believe in the intrinsic value of every single human being. And we can see that as things play out in the world today in many different areas. I could come up with many different analogies, but what we need to do is, and I think it is about reaching them at their heart, reaching them at a place where they can understand at an emotional level. And honestly, more commercials, like I think it was a Huggies commercial, like, welcome to this world, welcome to the world, baby, where, look, this is a cute thing, you know, this is a human being. But we also have, the rational side isn't working anymore. I don't really know how to reach them emotionally, but like Elon Musk is saying, we have a population problem. We need more births, not fewer.
Oh, yeah.
So the rational side isn't working. I honestly, because we've grown so far and so distant and so cold, and I think that was part of the purpose behind the pandemic in 2020 and the mitigation measures there was to divide us even further and to make us more cold toward human beings and dehumanize even adults, you know, even people that we encounter in the street. I think we've gotten to this point where we have to rehumanize.
Well said.
Our fellow man.
Rehumanize. I like that. You know, I heard a saying, and we're almost out of time here. Dorothy, somebody said, if you want somebody to know the truth, tell them the truth. But if you want somebody to love the truth, tell them a story. And I think one of the ways that we engage people on an emotional level, like you're saying, talking about the intrinsic value of every human being, and you know that's such an irony about the woke left that they ostensibly want to champion, you know, justice for people, but people are expendable. I mean, look, the left, they've done their utmost to make sure that there is no legal protection for the unborn. And it's destroying the soul of our country. The book is The Unraveling. Dorothy Logan is the author, our guest here. Again, tell us your website and where people can follow the great work you're doing, Dorothy.
Thank you. freedomacademy-dorothy.com, dorothy.com.
God bless you. Folks, I'll be back at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Exploring the Word, 6 p.m. today on the Hamilton Corner. This is the American Family Network. Be bold, stay encouraged, stand strong for truth, and No, God is using you. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Blessings to you all. We'll see you soon.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword, baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.